Here on RNIB Connect Radio, we do obviously highlight and promote access to museums, galleries and heritage sites for blind and partially sighted people, whether that might be guided audio-described gallery tours, recorded descriptions and guides, or online description events too. You might be wondering how accessible the pre-visit and event information might be on the museum, gallery or heritage site's website. Well, Vocalise, the National Audio Description Charity, have just published their 2022 Heritage Access Report, which is a follow-up to the report that they did in 2018. Katrin Podgorski, Vocalise Heritage Access Project and Volunteer Manager for the Heritage Access Report, and Vija, one of the visually impaired Digital Heritage Access Volunteers, join me now to tell me more about the Heritage Access Report for 2022. Hello and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Katrin and Vija.
Hi Toby, thanks very much for having us.
Hi Toby, thank you for having us on.
Katrin, firstly, would you be able to tell me a bit about why Vocalise wanted to research into the availability and, of course, access of museum, gallery and heritage site website access information and their offer for blind and partially sighted people, as well as all their services for other disabled people?
Yep, so as you mentioned, the Heritage Access 22 report follows a similar survey that Vocalise completed in both 2016 and 2018, and that was called the State of Museum Access Report. This year's research is a natural kind of progression from that, to look at whether access information provided by museums and heritage sites had improved or changed in any way, particularly after the first 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic. And also for the first time, we asked volunteers to assess basic online accessibility for each site as well. So we asked them to look at details such as alt text for images, the use of structural headings and subheadings on a web page, and downloadable documents as well. So this is particularly important given that kind of quick shift towards digital resources that happened due to an increase in remote working and virtual visits. So this year's report is kind of a scaled up version of what we've done in the past, and we can also draw some comparisons to what we found 4 years ago as well. But I think what's most important, and we had a fantastic foreword from Kim Klug-Miller, who is a Disability and Access Ambassador for Heritage in the Cabinet Office Disability Unit. And she wrote something that I thought was so poignant and kind of sums up why the report is so important. And she says that widening audiences and pursuing inclusivity should not be seen as an option for the heritage sector. Rather, it is our moral and legal responsibility. The right to access and to enjoy cultural heritage is a human right, which I think just summarises the necessity of our research completely.
And Katrin, for the 2022 Heritage Access Report, you built up a real community of digital volunteers to do the research for the report into the museums, galleries and heritage sites, websites and access information. And you included many blind and partially sighted people, as well as a wide range of other people with a variety of disabilities too. Why did Vocalise want to go down this route of building up a community, as it's slightly different to how you recruited volunteers back in 2018? And was it something to do with the sort of communities that we've all built up since the COVID pandemic, which I think is possibly one of the only good things that may have come out of the pandemic?
Yeah, definitely. It is one of the few good things, isn't it? And that shift towards remote and digital working, I think, has also been quite beneficial, and something that we've really focused on with our volunteers is building that community, like you say. We actually worked with about 61 volunteers who, because the role was remote and digital, were based all over the UK, and we couldn't have completed this scale of research without them. When we were recruiting our volunteers, we worked with over 125 community groups, disability charities, arts and disability organisations and the like to recruit our researchers, as we wanted them to have an interest in heritage and heritage access as well. We wanted to form a community of digital volunteers because remote and digital volunteering allows people from across the UK to get involved with the cause, and you're not limited to travel or to actually needing to be there in person. And the COVID-19 pandemic has, as we know, disproportionately affected disabled people and continues to leave many disabled people isolated and lonely. And so a remote project, when combined with the right volunteer management and engagement, very much allows people to connect with others whose situations may be similar to theirs. We also really wanted our volunteers to learn something for the project. So we wanted them to improve their digital skills and also their digital confidence and knowledge about disabilities other than their own. And it's been really important to us from the very beginning of the project that our volunteer researchers have had direct input into the shaping of the project. So when we put our survey together, this was actually done by holding focus groups with our volunteers to learn about their experience of access barriers in heritage, both in person and online as well. I do agree, as I said, that one of the few positives from the pandemic has been that accelerated move to online and digital projects. And our volunteers were incredibly willing to just get stuck in and also to support one another, which was such a fundamental thing for us when building that community. And we've heard feedback from volunteers that they've gone on to kind of stay in touch with other volunteers. We also had a buddy system where people could be kind of match made with someone else. And it was really fantastic to see volunteers not only engaging so well with the project, but supporting one another as well.
Vidya, you are one of the visually impaired digital research volunteers for the Heritage Access Report. And I wonder sort of first why you wanted to get involved in research and why you think it's so important for you as a visually impaired person to be able to get involved and, you know, sort of share your experiences of life as a disabled person to the research and the report.
And so I'm truly passionate about making a difference and breaking down barriers. And as a firm believer in diversity and inclusion, I really wanted to be part of that positive change to make access better so that others like me can enjoy the incredible experiences that a lot of heritage sites and venues have to offer, just like anyone without access restrictions can. So the opportunity to be involved in a large-scale digital project with the potential to make a difference to so many and to be a part of that positive change really made me want to get involved as a researcher for the Heritage Access Report 2022. And in terms of how important it was for me and all the other researchers to bring our own lived experiences to the process, we know firsthand the barriers that we have faced and what can be improved. And also, when accessibility is done right, how much of a positive effect that can make. And I believe it's so important that everyone can access the museums and heritage sites to enjoy not only the historical and cultural experience, but also the atmosphere and joy that they can bring.
And when you were doing all that online research video into the access information on the websites of the many museums, galleries and heritage sites, was there anything that may have surprised you or may have stuck in your mind about the information that was online, both maybe good and bad?
Definitely. Firstly, it was really interesting to see the variation in the level and the quality of the access information provided between the different sites. So some provided little to no access information whatsoever, where others provided reams of information. And secondly, the tone and language used was, again, varying across different sites. Some were very warm in tone and made themselves feel very approachable and that they actually cared. And they gave you the feeling that you're welcomed and, in fact, encouraged to visit. Whereas others gave a more cold or generic statement with no contact details for further information either. And also, those that really stood out to me positively during my research were those that, despite having some perhaps trickier buildings, they were making alternative provisions in these situations. So, for example, if it isn't possible to gain access to the upstairs of their building, so there's no lift or other access provisions to physically get there, some were providing a virtual tour downstairs on an iPad or offered an alternative to give those that can't access the upstairs an opportunity to experience what they would have seen. So again, it's those little touches that can just make you feel like they really care and that you're wanted there.
And obviously doing research online can be a little bit of a lonely sort of process, but for the research for the Heritage Access 2022 report, you are very much part of a online sort of local community. And I wondered, how good was it to be part of that online community and to be able to share experiences with the other volunteers?
To be honest, I never personally felt lonely during this process at all, because I think Catherine, Matthew and the rest of the team at Vocalise, as well as the project partners as well, put in so much effort to ensure that all of us, regardless of our requirements, could actively participate in every single session that they ran. And they were also on hand to support us throughout the projects whenever required. Also, as researchers ourselves, we truly became a team, working together, learning from each other, and also sharing our experiences and being able to share my own lived experiences with the group and also hear about everyone else's experiences made me much more aware of the challenges faced by others and also the overlaps between us all. And it was all done in a very supportive and safe space too. So it was actually very enjoyable and, in my experience, not lonely at all.
Catherine, would you be able to maybe highlight some of the key findings of the 2022 report and also maybe give me an idea of how the report might be used in the future to showcase access information at museums and galleries?
Yeah, so we were able to compare some of our results to what we found in 2018. And our report shows that very positively, the amount of online information about access provision in museum and heritage sites has increased significantly since 2018. However, the proportion of sites that actually have access information remains the same. So what this means is that 1 in 5 of the museums and heritage sites surveyed still did not have any access information. That's about 19%. So when we look at the sites that did provide access information, whilst that is of a much higher quality and tends to look at more underrepresented groups, far smaller increases were recorded in online information relevant for blind and visually impaired people, for example. So it's a mixed bag, really, of what our volunteers found. The report itself contains guidance for staff on creating and presenting online access information, and we do cover around 40 different access aids, facilities, resources and events. So we really hope that venues will engage with the report and actually look at their own access information and have a good think about what it is that they are missing. We've also created for the first time an online benchmarking tool, whereby sites that were surveyed and that did have access information were assigned a points score or a points value. And this was done for the first time. We created a platform with the museum platform, and a points value was assigned to each of the answers that our volunteers could select for each of the questions that we asked. So, for instance, a site may be given 24 or 35. Out of the available 106 points. We've also added a percentile figure. So a site, if they were to look at their own access information and think, oh, that number is quite low, they may see or seek some comfort in knowing that that score was still within the 75th percentile, for example. So it still puts them quite high amongst their peers and perhaps competitors. The 106 points, however, was not achieved by any site. The highest score was, in fact, 63. But something that we did find that was really positive is you may expect, if you work in that sector, you know about the challenges that it's facing at the moment. And you may expect that the top 20, top 50 would just be taken over by bigger national institutions. However, what we found is that smaller, perhaps local authority or independent museums were also within those top 20. So it goes to show, and something that we really hope that venues will take away from the report, is that you don't need to be the biggest venue in the UK in order to provide sufficient or even comprehensive and welcoming access information. You can include it without spending a huge amount of extra money, in fact, without spending any extra money. It's all about creating that welcoming content that Vidya mentioned on a website and making sure that you do welcome the disabled community. I think it's 22% of adults in the UK identify as disabled today, and you want to include them in your provisions and welcome them to your site.
Vija, is there anything that we can all do as blind and partially sighted people to encourage and maybe improve the availability of information that is on Venue's website about access and maybe help to improve their offer for blind and partially sighted people too?
Absolutely. There's always something we can do. Firstly, I would say, first of all, signpost those venues to the Heritage Access 2022 report. As Katrin mentioned, I mean, there's so much information there based on our research, which I'm sure will be very useful to them in improving their access offer. So by making sure we're signposting them to that, that's a great starting point, I think. And another thing would be for us to engage with the venues directly ourselves. For example, provide them with constructive feedback based on our own experiences with them. And don't just tell them what issues you faced, but also suggest what could have made your experience better. And I'm a firm believer that I think it's just as important to acknowledge and convey any positive experiences with them too, as not only will this ensure that they know the positive difference they're making, but also they're more likely to retain these positive features in the future going forward as well. Thirdly, I would say try to make the venues aware of the value of providing this access information and the high quality of service, not only for retaining and attracting new visitors, but also the commercial and business benefits this can bring to them. But I also think that there needs to be an open and collaborative approach and an ongoing dialogue between us and the venues. And they should also provide opportunities for us to contribute to that access offering and be open-minded and receptive to our thoughts, as we really can add a lot of value, which I think that hopefully the Heritage Access 2022 report will also convey and kind of proves as well.
Katrin, if listeners would like to maybe find out more about the 2022 Heritage Access Report, read some of the key findings of the report and maybe use the online benchmarking tool, where can people go to find out more about the report and read some of the findings?
So the report is available on the Vocalise website. The address is vocalise.co.uk/research/heritage-access-2022. And on that web page, you can get a link to our benchmark, and you can also download the report in PDF, clear print, or Word large print format. And for the first time, we also have an audio recording available as well. So you can, in fact, listen to the report that was produced by our audio production team. The Heritage Access 2022 report is supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund Digital Volunteering Tranche 8. And we've also had the opportunity to work with some fantastic project partners. We've worked with Stage Text, the Centre for Accessible Environments, and Autism in Museums, as well as our fantastic project advisory board, all of whom we're so grateful for their input and expertise on this project.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Katrin and Vidar, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the Vocalise Heritage Access Report 2022.
Thanks, Toby.
Thank you very much, Toby, for having us on.